Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, welcome back to the Mining Pod. We have a news roundup for you. We haven't done this in about 2 or 3 weeks, but we're going to get to this week's headlines in Bitcoin. First, a few words from our sponsors. Thank you to Forman Mining for being the sponsor for the Mining Pod. You'll hear from Forman Mining and a few other sponsors in just a moment. Before we get to that, we want to invite everyone to the Denver BitDevs Halvening Party on April 20th at the Independence Institute. We'll be there from about 12 to 8. We'll have some screenings of different Bitcoin movies and documentaries. We'll have live talks, beers, coffee, and more. So join us at the Independence Institute on April 20th from 12 to 8 p.m. It's going to be a great time. Also, go check out blockspace.media. On blockspace.media, you can sign up for our newsletter and find other content related to the Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining industry. So go and check that out. We have more to come at that URL. That was French Montana. He posted an ordinal this morning of a 4 megabyte song. There you go.
People have been talking about putting music on chain, and you know, to get any kind of fidelity, you pretty much have to buy a whole block. So shout out French Montana. Welcome to Bitcoin. Welcome to ordinals. It's music-fi on Bitcoin.
We just broke some IP laws, I'm sure, but that's okay. I think if it's under a few seconds, you're good. Welcome back to the Mining Pod. This is our news roundup. We haven't done it in 2 or 3 weeks because we've just had some other shows. We're gearing up for the Bitcoin halving, so there's just a lot of mining companies that have news they're putting out, or just like there's market stuff happening. Also bull market, obviously. So we've been missing this. Matt, Charlie, great to see you guys again. What we're talking about today, we're going to start with mempool updates. Had some difficulty adjustments that we definitely need to go through. And then we'll go over to this wild inscription from this morning with rapper French Montana working with Marathon. And we'll finish up with Biden's 30% proposed tax on Bitcoin miners. And Craig Wright, this just in, not Satoshi Nakamoto. So we'll finish with that. I'll throw this first over to Matt. Might catch you flat-footed on this, but let's talk about hash rate and difficulty. We just went up 5.8% in difficulty. And if you're looking at the screen on CoinDesk TV or on YouTube, you'll see that there is a relentless march up and to the right.
This is actually the first time looking at this in a little while. But yeah, it's price ripping, and it's S21, T21s, right? You guys enlighten me if I'm wrong. I think the positive thing for miners is that as much as hash rate has been ripping this year, price is ripping even harder. So if we look at hash price, it's going up, right? Price is outpacing hash rate. Miners are happy. Everyone's happy. I mean, what a wonderful time it is to be in Bitcoin.
It is a good time to be in Bitcoin and to be a Bitcoin miner. Like, it's funny because previous, you know, you like, if you were a Bitcoin miner this past year and you were staring down an upwards difficulty adjustment, you could get that sinking feeling in your stomach. But I don't think there's many Bitcoin miners who like really felt some pain at this upper difficulty adjustment. I think attitude is bring it on. The next big trial by fire is the halving. But this one is really just indicative of a healthy, strong market. I don't think anybody's going out of business this week.
Let's look at this from ASIC miner value. We're looking at a screen of different ASIC profitability by day across a slate of different Bitmain ASICs. Bitmain probably has about 70-80% of the market. So probably pretty good index for what we're looking at for 70K Bitcoin and profitability for these miners. S19s, we're looking at making $13 a day, $16 a day. Some of these more efficient miners, you know, doing even better. Even like down into like S17s or old model, making $4 a day. So I think like for a lot of miners right now, things are just going generally well. Like it's a lot better than you expect going to halving. So that's one part of this. Like Bitcoin price is up quite a bit. Now, of course, difficulty is like hot on the heels. We always see that. So I think one point we had on the show a few weeks ago was like the correlation, or not the correlation, the ratio between price and difficulty from November of 2022 when FTX blew up till now has basically been the same, where, you know, then it was like $20,000, $25,000 Bitcoin, but much lower difficulty. And now we have like 60, 70K Bitcoin and much higher difficulty, but the ratio has basically stayed the same. And that's allowed Bitcoin miners to continue to kind of build up because there's been like a little more safety within those margins than we've seen historically. So that's good news. One thing I would point out is that we're not really seeing like a huge rebound in the prices of ASICs themselves. So the Bitcoin miners themselves.
I mean, I think a solid point here is that there's probably more machines out there than there is rack space right now.
Yes.
And so
this is what if you listen to the most recent mining pod with Cathedra and specifically Tom Massiero, he talks about that they are long rack space. And this thesis, I think, will prove to be the strongest one. Certainly rig prices will go up. Certainly difficulty will go up. And certainly all these numbers will go up. But of the most high confidence thing, of which we can probably bet that there is the strongest constraint to growth, and that's just hot plugs that you can put an ASIC on. And so, yeah, I'm interested to see actually how pricing for rack space itself develops. We might see an evolution beyond simply just the power rate being the way these things are measured. Perhaps we could see a significant premium in deposits.
Okay, let's look at this chart from the block really quickly. This shows you the cost of a machine based on like its efficiency type and then also how powerful it is. ASIC prices have not really recovered to 2021 or 2022 highs. We're still in those doldrums, much like it was in 2020 to 2021, where the price was pretty stagnant for these ASICs, even though later they shot up quite a bit and Bitcoin had been moving up during that time period. So from 2020 to 2021, we saw Bitcoin go from, I think, a low of 3K to as high as 30K before it really started sprinting up at the beginning of 2021. Seems like we're in that same ballpark, right? Where like Bitcoin's up a lot. We're over our all-time high already. ASIC prices are not really moving. I could see a world where in the next 3, 6, 12 months, ASIC prices start moving up very quickly. And yes, I think rack space will just be the same. It has a premium, might even go up even more so. So this is something just to watch.
In the competitive world of Bitcoin mining, one name stands out: CleanSpark, America's Bitcoin miner. At CleanSpark, efficiency isn't just a goal, it's our standard. Our sophisticated facilities are built and led by expert teams who care about Bitcoin and the communities we work in. Scale, we've mastered it. Our large-scale operations have set us apart in the industry as examples of community-oriented building. Our track record speaks for itself. We navigate the complexities of the new economy with precision and with skill, continuously achieving operational milestones. Curious about how we do it? We invite you to discover the story behind CleanSpark's success at cleanspark.com.
Okay, we'll leave that and let's go over to the inscription topic, which we started the show with, which was French Montana put in a huge block on chain. Charlie, I'll throw this one over to you to kind of explain to everybody.
Yeah. So for the uninitiated, a Bitcoin block can have up to about 4 megabytes of data in it. So that means the upper boundary for the largest file you can inscribe or that can be an ordinal on chain is 4 megabytes. French Montana worked directly with Marathon Pool to produce a whole song in high fidelity of a new release of his. That is about 3.956 megabytes. This is about the biggest file you can put on chain, and it's really cool. The other takeaway is like, okay, French Montana is a 3 million follower count account on Twitter. He is major in hip hop, and I would consider him to be an A-list celebrity. Typically, A-list celebrities doing things on blockchains are a top signal. This is not the top. Everyone in this business knows. And what's crazy is we actually have, you know, the way this is done is that this is a transaction which was submitted directly to Marathon's pool via their latest Slipstream product, allows them a direct transaction submission through an API. I think the narrative for all of us nerds in the room is that you have an A-lister working directly with a mining pool to produce a custom block template. That is the wildest thing, and it's a symbol. It's descriptive of early hyper Bitcoinization to me.
I think this is the first French Montana song I've listened to in quite a while. I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of a banger. I mean, like, it sounds good. I listened to it all morning over again on repeat. Pretty sick. So might have to get back into him. We'll see.
I am impressed that he cares enough to do this, though. Like, he clearly has like a pretty good amount of knowledge on Bitcoin, right? To actually act on this and get it done. I'm sure he had some helps from some Bitcoin devs that are happy to do this skateboard trick for him. But nonetheless, I'm pretty impressed. I have to be Bitcoin boomer about it and bring up the potential dangers of off-chain transaction flow, right? That's outside of the mempool. Just because while this is entertaining and nice, the precedent and the actual reality of what this means in the Bitcoin world could actually have some pretty negative, like, second order effects.
Yeah, give me like the ocean pool steel man for why this is bad.
I'll just give one example of how this could break something in the broader Bitcoin ecosystem, right? So the basis of Lightning, right? The second layer, basically a payment solution to enable cheap, quick transactions. The whole fundamental premise of it is the concept of a payment channel, right? Which is just like a simple 2-of-2 multi-sig with a time lock. However, the actual reason that it could really work is because if me and Charlie had a channel and we're making payments back and forth, we're updating this channel state, eventually we might have a happy close on the base layer chain that nets out our balance and encompasses an array of previous trades that we have with each other and takes just the end state. If Charlie ever at any point was to take an old state, broadcast it down to the main chain, one where, say, he had more funds than he actually should, right? That would be cheating. And Lightning has the special property where if I see that in the mempool, I can actually take the whole channel's funds. So if he's cheating, I can actually be the winner. The dangerous scenario that I think with out of band payments, right? If from a Lightning perspective, at least just in this scenario, is that say Charlie was to not broadcast that transaction of a previous Lightning state in the mempool, but instead was to go through some pool's API, I wouldn't be able to see it and then get the full channel's funds. He would actually get to have the old state and win. This is actually like something theoretical that I've at least thought about lately. I'm sure more people out there have written about it, but have you guys considered this? I mean, what do you think?
Oh yeah. Matt, there has been heated debate and discussion on this topic. The Shinobis and Post Capones and other people, Rob Hamiltons of the world, have the short TLDR is this is an effect of a mempool relay policy, which is too restrictive, and that the best way to solve this is to unrestrict mempool relay policy to match Bitcoin consensus more accurately. So that's the kind of two-liner response. And I would also say, as my personal view,
I shouldn't be surprised that this all comes back to Bitcoin politics on mempool policy, which should be like an entire pod in and of itself.
Yeah.
Mr. Foxley someday.
I can tell this right now. We did a pod with the Marathon Digital tech team. Julian and Mike came on a week ago, and we talked about like consensus rule changes versus like actual in protocol like standardness rules and how those two things like work together, which most people are not thinking about when they're just trying to buy coffee with Lightning. But they do matter, and we're seeing that right now, especially with these larger companies that they're taking advantage of the fact that they like sit at the top of the stack, minor trackable value. There's more shows to come on that. I think they get like a little too in the weeds sometimes, so we'll be doing a lot of those shows on Bitcoin Season 2, the other Blockspace podcast that we just booted up recently. So if you're interested in that, go check out Bitcoin Season 2. You can follow the Blockspace pod on Twitter or follow one of us on Twitter, and you'll probably find it. So, okay, there's that. Let's go over to the Biden thing if you guys are game. Unless there's any last thoughts on Marathon.
I think that we're going to be talking about this whole year. This is going to be one of the most interesting and hotly debated subjects of the year.
Hey, listeners, let's talk about revolutionizing your mining operation with Forman. This isn't your average management tool. It's an all-in-one solution for reducing costs and significantly boosting your revenue. Forman brings a cutting-edge dashboard to your fingertips, empowering you with automated energy strategies. This means not only curtailing around real-time prices, but also strategically enhancing your profit margins through demand response. It's about leveraging energy efficiency to its fullest potential. With Forman, you get a system that scales with your business. Inventory management for assets, infrastructure integration, and business intelligence. Forman elevates the cash flow and production of your entire operation. To see how Forman can redefine your mining operation standards, visit Forman.mn. With Forman, you're not just managing a mining operation, you're setting a new standard in the industry.
Okay, so DeFi Llama News reported Biden's 30% tax would destroy Bitcoin mining in the US. Industry says, we got a great photo of Joe Biden with lightning surrounding him. They did a really good job with that photo. So if you're watching this, you can see. If you're listening, it's a good little clip of Uncle Biden there. Uncle Joe.
Basically, Joe Bowden, if you're in the meme coin game.
Yeah, if you're into the meme coins, which I did purchase that. A small speculative bet for fun. Okay, I'm going to guess into what's happening here. Last year, the administration, the Biden administration, put forward some documentation for what they thought the budget should look like for the year. As part of their budget, they put forward a tax on Bitcoin miners that would escalate over a three-year period, starting 10%, 20%, 30%. And this was a tax on Bitcoin mining electricity costs. So if you're a Bitcoin miner and you buy $10 worth of electricity, in year three of this tax, you get $3 tax for that $10 purchase. This obviously does not work for Bitcoin mining. Bitcoin miners have to find the cheapest energy sources out there. They would essentially be banned from being able to operate in the United States from this federal tax. It was fought tooth and nail. It was taken out of the eventual tax bill and budget plan for the year. But we've seen it return with Biden's 2024 budget. I think this is going to fail. There's a few quotes in here from different Bitcoin miners saying like this will likely be taken out again. Like it was already defeated once last year. The merits for it are apparently not there. And I think it's also a presidential election year, right? So like any sort of hot rod issue like this is going to be fought tooth and nail. There's going to be a lot of money to fight this. So my understanding is Bitcoin miners are not super worried about it at the moment. But it is certainly something to pay attention to should it slip by. Charlie?
I mean, BlackRock has major positions in a lot of these public mining companies, and it would basically destroy the industry. So I think you got to go answer to Larry Fink, who recently called Bitcoin a store of value. So I don't see this being a very, I think this is very low likelihood, because now there's real money, which doesn't want to see this type of tax come in.
We go from Bitcoin politics within the community to Bitcoin as a policy issue within the America, within the US. I think that it'll be really interesting. We are in an election year, and I think Bitcoin will be more of a focus than it's ever been in the broader Overton window of politics in the States. This is, I think, just the beginning. As Charlie said, previously in this episode, this is another thing where, I mean, if you think about it, miners are very closely tightly knit with grid infrastructure in Texas at the least, right? But there's a broader swath of Bitcoin mining across states. It has largely been a states' rights issue up to this point. We also have stablecoin issuers as a very large owner of U.S. debt, right? In the top 25, I believe, if you put them relative to other countries in the world, holder of U.S. treasuries. And there's just more and more talk of Bitcoin as price pumps. And the consensus this year is that we're definitely, the consensus, at least amongst the crowd, is that we're not peaking yet. And so I think it'll be really interesting to monitor the conversation and see what the parties do as the year progresses in an election year.
Love it. We'll keep watching that one, keeping the political hawks up to date on Bitcoin mining. Let's go to our last story for this today, which we have not ever talked about this person on the show, to my knowledge.
We're going to do it once, and then we'll never speak of him again.
Yeah, that is Craig Wright, a.k.a. not Satoshi Nakamoto, who was struck down in UK court today for not being Satoshi. He's claimed to be Satoshi, claimed to write the white paper, and he has gone after many a Bitcoin developer or Bitcoin personality for refuting his claim. And it culminated in this judgment in the UK today where they say, quote, first, that Dr. Wright is not the author of the Bitcoin white paper. Second, Dr. Wright is not the person who adopted or operated under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto in the period 2008 to 2011. Third, Dr. Wright is not the person who created the Bitcoin system. And fourth, he is not the author of the initial versions of the Bitcoin software.
That is a comprehensive unilateral dismissal of all of the claims he's made. And the handful of times that I do deign to peek into the BSV community, the most recent time that this morning after the announcement was pretty grim. A lot of the diehard believers trying to figure out how to distance themselves or say, it's about time we admit that he's not Satoshi. And you could have done that years ago. Please stop suing Bitcoin devs. You're not going to win.
I'm happy that he got a thorough beatdown, and I hope that he gets tried for prosecution. He has caused tangible harm to the Bitcoin community when he could have just been an early hodler and made a tremendous amount of money. So, yeah, goodbye, Craig Wright. I hope I never have to talk about you again.
We'll never talk about him on the show again. Mark my words. Unless he starts like a huge Bitcoin mining farm and I don't know. New Acer. That'd be tough. That'd be tough.
Craig,
what if he pivots and does something in mining? I don't know.
He's gonna launch. He's gonna launch an inscription collection.
here's a fun tidbit fact. There was obviously the whole block size wars, and the Bitcoin Cash fork came out of that. And I want to say near the end of 2017, BSV wasn't even a fork of Core. It was a fork of Bitcoin Cash. There's your little fun tidbit of Bitcoin history for you.
Okay, guys, let's shut this one down. Thank you for listening to the show. If you are enjoying it, please give us a like or a 5-star review, whatever you're watching this on. If you want more conversations, a little more in depth on Bitcoin tech, check out Bitcoin Season 2. We'll throw a link in today's show notes, and then also check out our newsletter. You can follow Matt and Charlie online. Charlie's becoming like an Ord influencer of type, so pretty good follow these days.
I follow him.
I follow him too.
Great follow.
I'm gonna 2024 is the year that I expand from Ordfluencer to Blockfluencer. So Fluencer. You heard it here first.
The mining, the Ords, who knows what's next. Okay, let's shut this one down. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening.